Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, Scorebook Live's Director of Recruiting, and the expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Ooh-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Buck, I'm not going to lie. It was hard to gear up to do this show today.
Some shows are a little rougher than others, depending on what you've been through.
It's been a rough 24 hours.
But Andrew Nemec, a pro's pro.
We'll see.
Back in the chair.
We'll see how we get through it. For folks who don't know or don't listen to the show regularly, you and I are both pretty huge 49er fans.
Big time.
As a Christmas gift one year, I got 49er playoff tickets. It was the year before they won the Super Bowl, so I was like seven.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Waters was the running back then for the Eagles. They bottled him up in a wild card game and held him to like 52 yards rushing when mm-hmm. he led the NFL in rushing.
That's right.
The next year they add him to the team.
Yep.
So I've been a Niner fan for a long, long time.
I will still maintain that that Niner team that went on to win the next year, beat the Chargers in the Super Bowl, one of the most insane collections of talent in the history of football on the field. It was an all-star team.
It's a top seven team of all time.
Yeah, so good, so. Both sides of the ball. Anyways, I digress.
So yesterday was tough,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we talked about it on last week's show, and I think we were both realistic Niner fans. I think we both said the Chiefs are likely to win. Going into that game, you brought up the point that like there's a trio in Super Bowls that tend to win games, and it's best coach kind of in big situations, and Andy Reid certainly historically is Trump Shanahan, who's now blown three double-digit playoff
leads. And it's tough,
although
too,
I don't
because,
blame him for this one.
And we'll get into it, but like to say Shanahan's blown three, yes, he has. He's blown leads in all three, but then you remember Andy Reid was that guy in Philly.
He was
blowing leads. He was having clock management. Shanahan's also getting his team there, and this just may be part of his evolution, but you're right. Like we mentioned last week, when you go up against the three components of the best quarterback in the game, the best coach in the game, and the best defense in the game, that side usually wins.
Yeah, I mean, those are three factors that if you have two of the three, you've got an edge, and quarterback being the one that's almost worth double in and of itself. The gap between Mahomes and Purdy is probably not as big as Purdy's biggest naysayers, but it's a significant gap. There's no doubt. Mahomes right now is probably a top three quarterback all time, no matter how you slice it. It's Brady. You could put Elway, Peyton in there, Montana, and Mahomes if you want to do like a top five or a Mount Rushmore kind of thing, top four. He's up there. There's no question. And Brock Purdy, I think, is a C-plus, B-minus guy, and he might be a little better than that. And, you know, if you want to say he's a B-plus, I'm fine with that, whatever the case may be. But if you're talking pretty good, not a Pro Bowler versus an all-time great, there's a huge advantage there. At coach, Andy Reid now has kind of gotten the monkey off his back, the proverbial monkey that Steve Young got off his back when they beat the Chargers.
I think what we're seeing is the difference between very good and truly great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we saw yesterday. The Niners were good. Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator, put out a good game plan. They held Patrick Mahomes' team to 19 points in regulation. That's pretty good. But it just ultimately was not enough to beat them at the horn. You're not able to overcome that coach, that quarterback, and that defense trio.
I think one of the biggest factors here, there were a few things, and I thought when you play a team like the Chiefs in a Super Bowl, I don't care if the Niners were favored on paper. I don't think anybody really thought. I think most people thought the Chiefs should have been favored by 2.5, and look what happened. That's roughly what people thought. Maybe Chiefs by 3, and that's where it landed. Shanahan's a master at scripting games early. You have to take advantage with his script because he does kind of get lost in the shuffle sometimes in the second quarter. He goes into halftime and they kind of hit the ground running. Some of that conservatism that he has late in the second quarter is he kind of runs out of the juice of his scripted stuff and he wants to reset. He wants to get in halftime and reset.
And that's unfortunately a big trend in the 3 Super Bowls he has coached in. His team has been outscored 79-24 in the second half and overtime. It's just, you're right, the preparation is all there. The pieces are all there. The adjustments maybe aren't quite there yet.
So for McCaffrey, you know, they gashed him early. For McCaffrey to fumble on that opening drive, it's so important to get points out of Shanahan's scripts. The Chiefs were really bottled up. In fact, I think they had third and more than 10 on their first 3 drives. The Niners did a nice job, but you've got to take advantage. If you look to that first 25 minutes of that game, the Niners were a much better team, and they should have been up more than 10-0, you know, right before that final drive for the Chiefs. It should have been more like 17-0. And if you're up 17-0, you're probably okay, or at least you feel pretty good about it. That McCaffrey fumble was a killer. The punt at the end of the third quarter where the Chiefs scored literally the next play, that was an absolute killer. And I think one of the underrated things that people have not really focused on in this game is what happened after Dre Greenlaw went out.
Yeah.
Oren Burks becomes, you know, the replacement cover corner or the cover linebacker when Dre Greenlaw goes out. He was targeted 9 times after Dre Greenlaw went out for 9 catches and a touchdown, a passer rating of 134.7, and his PFF coverage grade was 32.1. A 32.1 is essentially you are giving up a catch every time, and they're getting yardage. They're not scoring every single play. You're eventually making a tackle. But a 32 means every time you're targeted, not only are they catching it, but then they're running away from you and gaining yardage. That's disastrous. They went from not being able to throw to Kelce in the first half to Kelce,
to him screaming at his coach about it,
to Kelce leading the game in receptions. And the reason wasn't that the Chiefs figured out some magical sauce. Yes, Mahomes is good in the clutch, and that was part of it. The biggest area was that Dre Greenlaw got hurt. Because Dre Greenlaw was bottling up Kelce, and that's something we talked about. If we were going to look at a way the Niners could win, you and I talked about last week, if Travis Kelce can be contained, where he has kind of a very normal 7-for-70 because Warner and Greenlaw are doing a nice
and
job
it looked
on
that
him,
way for 3 quarters.
They've got a chance. The problem is he ended up with 80, and he got 76 of it in the second half, and basically had 150 yard type game. You know, he had half 76 yards in one half. You're on pace for 150 yards if you do that for 2 halves. He became an absolutely dominant piece when Dre Greenlaw got out. I think you take away any of those things, the McCaffrey fumble, the punt, and the Greenlaw injury, you take away any of those three, not all of them, just one of those three, I think the Niners actually win the Super Bowl. I do. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. And Fred Warner, I think, said it best. Nobody hands you a Super Bowl, you have to take it. And the Niners didn't take it in the first half, and they let those mistakes compound themselves, whereas the Chiefs found a way to rally.
And I think that, for me as a fan, is maybe the toughest part, because I think you almost get tricked into thinking, okay, we're good, when you have that 10-point lead or that touchdown lead or whatever, because things are going well. But I think, unfortunately, in those spots, there needed to be more. There needed to be, you know, the lack of turnovers, finishing drives, you know. You mentioned the McCaffrey fumble, so uncharacteristic. You don't usually get that. The bad luck of
three fumbles in 400 touches. He averages
doesn't happen.
0.7% of his touches this year he fumbled. 0.7%.
So a lot of it's bad luck, but man, it feels like when you were up by 7, you should have been up by 10. And when you're up by 10, you should have been up by 13. And it's just there were not enough points on the board. You're gonna need more than 20 points to beat KC.
I thought the other big issue, and you and I have talked about this, I think, off the air, the Niners, throughout, like, since you've been the producer of the show, the Niners' lack of investment in the offensive line outside of Trent Williams is an issue. And I know you have to go cheap somewhere because you have so many studs, and it is stars and scrubs a little bit on that roster. But they really, really needed last year to take a couple of flyers on linemen. You know, you trade Trey Lance and, you know, you trade for Trey Lance and that's 3 first round picks. You think of 3 average starters anywhere on this team and you put them at safety and O-line, you're a better team. You're a different team. But last year's draft, Jair Brown came up huge with an interception. That's awesome. Jake Moody played great. But everyone said going into last year's draft, the Niners need interior offensive line help. And if Purdy gets pushed from the middle of the pocket, there's really not a lot they can do. And you look at the pressures, and Burford, I think, gave up 5. McKivitz gave up 4. I know he's the right tackle. Feliciano only gave up 1. But I think combined, they gave up something like pressures on 45% of his passing attempts. Purdy can't be pressured on half his attempts. You just can't do that. It's too much of a rhythm offense where he's having to create. And the other thing Purdy didn't do, frankly, in the Super Bowl, you know, that made the difference in the Lions game, he played so loose that he was willing to tuck it and run. And they kind of took that away from him, too. And when that wasn't there...
Well, and to their credit, they did that against Josh Allen and the Bills, and they did that against Lamar and the Ravens. They make it hard. They don't want to let you get outside and get loose.
How about this stat? This is unbelievable. I don't know if this stat held after the Ravens game, because Lamar, I think, was able to run at least once or twice. Heading into the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs on their blitzes all season, have I given this stat on the air?
You've told me this off the air.
They gave up 1 scramble from a quarterback for positive yards.
That's insanity.
When they blitzed, letting the quarterback get away from the pressure and gain any yardage.
That amount of discipline is absurd.
1 time all year. So Brock Purdy not doing that should not have been a shock to people.
Right.
But it still was a major factor. Mm-hmm. And credit to Spags, man, as a coordinator now, 4 championships. No one's ever done it before. That's incredible that he's been able to do that.
I have a stat on Spags. I know it's been bandied about now that the Chiefs have taken the toughest road to the Super Bowl as far as defeating the best offenses. Like they beat the teams with the best DVOA on the way to their title in their 4 games or their 4 wins. But they faced the offenses number 2, 3, 4, and 6 in the league. Those teams averaged 28.3 points per game. Spagnuolo held him to 15.8 points a game. He shaved almost 13 points off of their averages. I mean, he basically made the teams they played against half of what they were production-wise. It's nuts.
It is unbelievable. Credit to the Chiefs. They played great. This was a year where they didn't really seem to have their fastball. And Mahomes was like an old pitcher who just kind of finds a way with
different
speeds.
No, he was doing the crafty lefty thing. Let me throw some junk out there and see if I can fool some people with smoke and mirrors. And
he needed to be a check down artist and vanilla this year with a few explosives. And to his credit, especially when you watch his college tape, all he was a gunslinger who forced everything. He forced everything and made a lot of mistakes. And people said, there's no way he can be a good pro. The naysayers, because he's too erratic. He makes too many bad decisions. He's going to not play within a system because he's going to try to make too much happen. This is a year that really highlights his progression as a passer, as a quarterback, because he really was restrained all year. And just trust your defense, put up 24, let us win games, don't make mistakes. And to his credit, for most of the season, he really didn't. The Niners got a big pick. They created a fumble in the red zone that obviously was not him. It was Pacheco. But the Niners turned him over. They just couldn't quite get it done. The last thing I want to say about the overtime, I don't care what anybody says about the math of going first or second. I get it. I am a math guy when it comes to football. I'm willing to just say that's usually true. I don't think it's true when the other team has Patrick Mahomes, because if you score, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal, and they are then 4th and 4, say you get lucky and you get them 4th and 4 on their own 30, if it's their possession first at 4th and 4 on their own 30, they're punting.
Well, we saw this exact scenario play out, right? Because the Niners did get the ball first, but when the Chiefs got the ball on their first possession, the second possession of overtime,
yep,
they got to 4th and 1 at their own 34. You don't think if they had the ball first, they might have kicked that away?
They might have.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're giving Mahomes an extra down to get 10 yards every series.
You're giving the best player in the world 25% more plays with which to beat you, potentially.
And that's it. I know the Niners' defense was tired. I know they were gassed. You can't do that. You cannot. You cannot let Mahomes have a whole extra down, especially when it was only 3. If you were going to go first, I think you had to go for it. You had to score a touchdown. You had to, because Mahomes getting 4 downs to get 10 yards to get to like the 40 so Butker can kick a 57-yarder, it's too easy. It's too much of a gimme. And I think that was a major, major mistake by the 49ers. in a game that really Kyle Shanahan, I thought, did a pretty nice job. This was a tough Super Bowl. I think some of the criticism of blown leads and Shanahan blew it, I frankly think it's completely fabricated.
I think it's pile on based on trends, right? Like, because some of the other times, maybe he does have a little egg on his face for the way he handled things or the way he didn't adjust. I think that this iteration of him and this team, much better than previous versions, but still, you run into a buzzsaw that is one of the greatest coach and QB tandems of all time.
Portland State signed a really good recruiting class. They signed a group that is a top 10 group in the FCS, led by a major, major local talent in Crew Newman. So joining me to talk about the recruiting class in the next segment is Portland State offensive coordinator A.C. Patterson. Later in the show, we will have Matthew Johnson, the De La Salle defensive lineman edge rusher who committed to Oregon recently. Those interviews coming up next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Portland State signed an absolutely stellar recruiting class this year. Joining me to talk about it is Portland State offensive coordinator A.C. Patterson. A.C., thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You guys actually had the true early signing day, light signing period. There's so many teams now that seem to sign the majority of their class, or almost all of their class, during the early signing period. But you guys actually put a run together late and signed some guys during the late signing period. How much has that split affected the FCS? Obviously, as I mentioned in the FBS, 90-something percent, I think it was 98% of four-star guys or better signed during the early signing period. Is that the same at FCS?
There is some of that for sure. There are kind of two ways to go about that. One way is to try to sign them all early. I think Idaho does a pretty good job of that. And the other way to kind of do that is to wait in the weeds, and then there's guys who kind of fall through the cracks who we can kind of scoop up late, and we get them in when we think they should have been an FBS kind of guy, but they fell through the cracks down to us. That's kind of how we do that too.
You ended up signing the number one class in the Big Sky, number three in the nation for FCS. And I was really impressed with a couple of signings that you guys got late. The headliner,
thank you,
obviously, is Crew Newman, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Oregon. And really, I've talked about this on the show. In my history, and I started being a ball boy when I was like in second grade, and I'm 37 now, so almost 30 years of Oregon high school football. He's on my Mount Rushmore of Oregon high school quarterbacks. Not from a prospect standpoint, I don't think he's one of the best four prospects in 30 years in Oregon, because there's been some great ones with Derek Anderson, Kellen Clemens, Justin Herbert, guys like that.
Of course.
But from a high school producer, from a game manager at the high school level, from a playmaker, I thought he was one of the most four special quarterbacks I've seen. How did you guys get him? How did that process go to add him during the late signing period?
Yeah, I, you know, everyone in the state has been telling telling us about Crew for 2-3 years now. And as we got to this kind of December-ish time, we really started to ramp things up. We talked with him, we talked with his mom, his dad, and Coach Pine, and we just built that relationship there, and we got to know him well. And then he didn't know a whole ton about us. Even though he's from this state, he just did not know us too well. So once he got to know us, he got to know what we do and how we play, we all saw that this was going to be a good fit, and we think he's going to be a gem on and off the field for us.
When was the last time Portland State got a Gatorade Player of the Year from Oregon?
I believe, if I'm correct, it was Stephen Long in 2011.
That worked out pretty well, right?
There we go. Yes, yes, he actually scored the TD to win the game against Wazoo. So it was a good one.
I think one of the hidden guys in this group that maybe people don't recognize immediately is out of Nelson High School, Andre Miller. Yeah. I really liked what I saw from Andre Miller the week of the Les Schwab Bowl practices. I thought he was an absolute standout. Yep. He likes to hit. He's just a good football player. That feels like a steal for you guys.
Yes, and his uncle, Rashad Floyd, played for us too, and he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame here soon for us. So to get him into our team and to be around us, and he's just a good personality to be around too, so he's a huge get. And the more in-state guys that we can get, I think that's good for everyone.
We're talking to Portland State offensive coordinator A.C. Patterson about a recruiting class that finished number 3 in the nation at the FCS level, number 1 in the Big Sky Conference. I love your late additions. You guys got somebody during the early signing period that I was kind of surprised signed early. I thought there was a chance he could wait, especially based on how he played lately, in Keenan Elder out of Tualatin High School. I really like Keenan, and I thought that was a player that was going to be interesting to see if he popped late. You guys were able to sign him during the early portion of the process. What do you think of that kid, and what does he bring to the table for you?
Yeah, you know, he was one of the first guys to actually say yes to us. He committed to us all the way back before his senior year even began, and he just said that it felt like home. And that, you know, we showed him true love from the start. So it was a good fit for us all there. But he's a good wide receiver who can also play some defense too. So to have those guys that can do things on both sides of the ball just means that they have more opportunity to play. But he's a great, great kid and played for a great team here. So we are glad to keep him home as well.
Seems like one of the themes for you guys was size up front. 6'6", 310, 6'2", 300, 6'2", 320, 6'4", 305. How much of an emphasis was size in this class? Because, man, especially up front, it sure seems like that was a focal point for you guys.
Of course. You know, you can't teach size is what they like to say, right? So you can't teach size, so to get those big dudes up front who can hold the point on the defense side of the ball and who can move men on the offensive side of the ball, that's a huge point that we wanted to get done this year. And the caliber of the kids that we get out of high school now are far and above what we used to get because of the transfer portal. So it's been a huge help there, because these kids who think they're gonna have more big stuff, it kind of falls through the cracks and they come to us and we're their best thing, and they find out that this is a good fit too. So it's been great.
Talking to A.C. Patterson, the offensive coordinator at Portland State. Again, they signed the number 3 recruiting class in the nation at the FCS level. Who's a recruit? I know you were very involved, very active on the recruiting trail this year. Who's a guy that you kind of took personally this year on the recruiting trail that, whether it's a point of pride or just had a great story about his recruitment, who's a guy that you say, I highlight that guy as a special moment, special recruit in this class?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of those kind of guys. You know, the first one that kind of came to my mind when you said that, we signed a running back, Micah Avery.
Yeah.
And his bro was on our team the last 2 years. So to just keep him and his whole family here, he had turned down an FBS school to come here, and he has 10.9 speed on the track. So I think he could be a guy who could come in here soon and make some big plays for us.
Looking at this class as a whole, is there somewhere where you feel like is the real strength? I like it all. I mean, when you finish with the number three recruiting class in the nation, that's what Oregon did in FBS. And if you asked Oregon fans to say where the strength of the class is, they just say it's good everywhere. So I imagine you feel pretty good about everywhere. But is there anywhere in particular, in particular, you look at this class and say, hey, this is job well done. We're thrilled with where we retooled, reloaded the roster.
I mean, kind of like you had said with the size, I think in about, 1 to 2 years, you're going to see all those O-line guys up front who have all that size, and they'll finally mature into grown men, and they'll be able to play to where we think they should be. So all three of those O-line guys who we signed early, I think will be able to help us out big time up front.
He's A.C. Patterson. He's part of the orchestrator of the number three recruiting class in the nation in the FCS level, led, of course, by Gatorade Player of the Year, Crew Newman, a special class. Coach Patterson, thank you very much for joining the show and talking about it.
Thank you very much for having me on, and go Vikes.
It's a good group, man. And I've been on Portland State's case about in-state recruiting in the past. And I think with Keenan Elder, with DeMarcus Houston, who they signed, with Crew Newman, obviously, and Andre Miller, that's a quartet of really good players. And I think Portland State's going to ramp up the in-state recruiting effort right now, because with Oregon State kind of dropping down, I think there's going to be more opportunity potentially to get some steals. They've done a much better job evaluating in-state. You get guys like Crew Newman and Andre Miller. Those are two great late signings, and that means you're really diving deep. You get your class together. You have to do a reset. And when you do that reset, because the early signing period, again, he mentioned, some of those guys were committed for months. So that's their year-long thing, to hit the reset button after the early signing period, say, how many scholarships do we have left, and where do we attack? And to really dig deep and go, let's go full court press on Crew Newman. How is this kid still here? No one's going to offer him. We'll go all in. We want that kid to be able to get him, to get a guy like Andre Miller, who I thought was one of the better DB prospects in Oregon this year. Those are really solid additions, and that is why they signed the number three class in the country, again, at the FCS level. And, again, that size. You sign four 300-pound guys, 6'6", 6'4", 6'2", up front. You should be pretty good up front going forward. You sign a Micah Avery, and the vision's clear. They want to have a team where Crew Newman can roll out. Crew Newman can find guys open, right, when he's got a big O-line in front of him. And then you've got Micah Avery, this back who runs a 10-9, running behind that O-line, getting lost at 5-9 in that shuffle, and then bursting through for big gains. There's potential for Coach Patterson to have a really special group in the next couple years. Pivoting to a special group that's being put together right now, Oregon's 2025 recruiting class looks like it's got a chance to be great. We had Nasir Wyatt on last week, the number two edge rusher in the country. Seemed about as high on Oregon as anybody could be. And he mentioned that he was kind of starting to think that Oregon was really putting the full court press on for a potential commitment, and he really liked it. He said his heart was in Eugene. Since then, a huge number of predictions, myself included, on 3, 24/7, that Nasir Wyatt will end up being a Duck. I think that's right. But before that, this week, they landed Matthew Johnson, a very versatile four-star defensive line piece out of California, committed to Oregon over offers from Miami, Michigan, USC, and others. He will join the show to talk about his recruitment and his decision to choose Oregon next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
The Oregon Ducks signed the best recruiting class in program history in 2024. They've got quite an encore going in 2025. The latest addition is Matt Johnson out of De La Salle, the four-star defensive lineman. He joins the show now. Matt, thank you for joining the show, man. I really appreciate it.
How's it going? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing well. I imagine not as well as you. You found home, and you found your next home in the University of Oregon. What went into your decision-making process? Was it a final visit? What was it? Was it a meeting with a coach? What was it that you said, this is the spot for me, I'm ready to commit, and I'm ready to lock in early?
I really knew from close to the beginning of my recruitment process, like, they just kind of have everything I need there. I mean, they have probably the best facilities, I would say, in sports, just in general. The coaching staff is not going anywhere, and those guys are real committed to winning a national championship, which is my goal as well before I leave college. And, you know, they got the resume to prove it. Coach Landing and Coach Lupoy, they both got rings at Georgia and Alabama, so they've seen what a winning program looks like. And, you know, those guys look like they're committed to developing players into national championship level players too. So, I'm real fired up about them. I love the location. My mom, her husband actually stay in Eugene, like 5 minutes from the stadium. Like, you could then hear the fans on game day. So, part of it was just kind of being able to leave home, but also kind of taking a piece of home with me and my mom moving up there after I graduated and whatnot. So, you know, Coach Lupoy is a Spartan. He went to my high school. If you know what my high school was like, you know that's a big deal. So it kind of just seemed like the stars kind of aligned, and it's just the perfect fit, to be honest with you.
We talked to Nasir Wyatt on last week's show, and one of the things he mentioned was Oregon signed this impressive collection of guys in the front seven in 2024. Aiden Breland, Elijah Rushing, Jericho Johnson, that they're trying to load up in the front seven. And if he ends up going to Oregon, that is something that really appeals to him about the Ducks, that they have dogs everywhere up front. How much did that matter to you when you look at potentially who you'd be playing with at Oregon and say, man, it'll be nice to be surrounded by talent so nobody can key on me, nobody can focus on me.
Not only that, that's actually, that was the biggest thing in my, that was the biggest factor in my decision by far. And that goes back to being a national championship level football team, which Oregon is and is going to continue to be. But, you know, part of that is, you know, if you go against the best players in the country every single day in practice, the hardest opponent you play all week is going to be a practice. And then games, not only can they not key on you specifically as one player, but you're also better than the competition because you've been going against dogs, challenging yourself, pushing yourself every week in practice. Like, it's never an easy day. So then Saturdays, they just become easy. So, I mean, that's such a huge advantage to be on, to be a part of a great team, because you just, you get to see it every day. And then game day, you just get to go eat.
We're talking to Oregon's newest commitment, Matt Johnson, the four-star defensive lineman out of De La Salle. It's safe to call you a defensive lineman. It is difficult to call you, whether you're a defensive tackle, an edge rusher, a defensive end. One of the things that's really interesting about you is you can kind of play anywhere. You are a versatile piece. How much did Oregon pitch that to you, that like, hey, you've got a chance to play potentially in a number of different spots and be an impact player all over because of your athleticism, because of your size?
Yeah, I mean, I see that as an asset, being able to play all the way from three out to the end position on the edge. I mean, I love it. I played D tackle this past year, and then I played end my sophomore year, and then this year coming up, senior year, I'm thinking I'll probably play end again. So, I mean, you know, I love playing all over. The different positions, there's small nuances depending on which position you're at, but ultimately it's I love it all. It's all fun for me. So, I mean, wherever they see me, wherever I can help the team the best is where I'll play. Currently, like as my body is right now, I kind of see myself playing like that big end position at the next level, but you never know. I'm definitely open to change and certainly really flexible as far as positions. I play everywhere.
What's it like to play for such a storied program like De La Salle? I mean, the national record, I believe, for wins in a row. There's been movies made about the program. A lot of pride, I imagine, with putting on a De La Salle jersey.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely high expectations, but it's mainly I try and keep the main thing, and that's, you know, that's the next practice, the next rep. And on a larger scale, that's the next game. So while it's really awesome to have those traditions of the past teams, I wasn't on those teams, so I'm trying to create something for myself and my team and build something new. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's always awesome seeing the alumni, and it's always really encouraging to see that our program and how hard we work pays off, because you know, seeing all those guys play on Sundays and Saturdays that came from where I came from, and they went through the same things I went through at De La. So it's kind of really encouraging when you see those guys succeed at the next level, and you just know, like, man, it does pay off. So, you know, I love always seeing that.
We're talking to De La Salle four-star defensive lineman Matt Johnson, who committed to Oregon recently. He is their latest commitment. When you commit early, one of the responsibilities, whether it's spoken or not, is to become a peer recruiter and start trying to bring guys with you to Oregon. How much are you taking on that role and wanting to take on that role, and who might you be targeting here going forward? Or are you keeping that under the hat for now?
All my guys in Cali, for sure. Every time, every camp I go to, you know, even before I committed, I kind of knew, but, you know, guys that I see just around in my local area, you know, it's a lot of talent in the Bay. I want to see those guys come to Oregon, and I think it will continue to happen as it has in the past, where, you know, guys from my area, they're coming over, they're coming to Eugene. I know when I went on my visit, I saw like five or six dudes that I played youth ball with in that 2024 class. So, you know, I think it's going to continue to happen organically, guys from Cali seeing what Oregon has to offer, wanting to go there. But yeah, every time I get the chance to, you know, talk to one of these guys in my class or the class below me that's uncommitted, man, most definitely I'm telling them everything they got to offer and just telling them the truth. If you want to come win, you want to come work, you know, Oregon is a place to be.
How much does that matter? Not the winning, the California pipeline. How much, when that ball gets rolling, where, hey, the guys that are real guys from California, they're all going up north. They aren't staying at USC or UCLA. They're not necessarily going to Washington. They're not going to Ohio State. They're staying on the West Coast. They're just going up north and playing for Oregon. How much of a brotherhood does that create? How much of a pipeline does that really create that kind of gets other guys wanting to go there as well? Or is that not a factor?
I mean, it's huge. Like, at least for the guys that are from Cali. Like, I'm not going to lie, Oregon, they recruit nationally. So when I went up there, there was guys all the way out from Florida. And even on my visit, there was other recruits, even from Texas and Florida as well. But there is definitely a group of guys that are from Cali, just being that it's a West Coast school. And, you know, it's cool. You know, it's good to have people that are that kind of know where you're from. Maybe you knew them when they were younger. I mean, it's cool. But ultimately, the great thing about football is, you know, it's people from all different walks of life. So you get guys from all over the country, a full roster of people from all 50 states, what have you. I mean, if y'all in there every single day at 6 a.m. working together, you're going to get close with each other no matter where y'all's from. So, yeah, I would definitely say that there's kind of, you know, like there's kind of a relationship that the guys from the Bay have with each other. But I think when you're on a good team, you guys are all brothers no matter what, no matter where you're from.
He is De La Salle 4-star defensive lineman Matt Johnson. He's about as well-spoken a guest as we've ever had. Thank you very much for joining the show. We appreciate you, and I'm sure, being that this is the home of the Ducks, there are a lot of listeners really excited to see you in green and yellow in the future. So thank you.
Thank you.
Man, that's about as encouraging an interview as you will hear from an Oregon commit, talking about the best facilities in sports, that he's really encouraging it. The number one thing is that he believes Oregon really has stacked elite talent up front and that he wants to be a part of that. That was the number one thing, that California guys now collectively kind of are all pushing to want to go to Oregon. I don't know if we've had an interview, Buck, that if you're an Oregon fan, you'd be more encouraged about in terms of what he's talking about trend-wise. Again,
send it to the team. That's marketing right there, baby. He could not say it any better.
Unbelievable. Talking again about how it just creates an avalanche of guys wanting to come from California. That's huge for Oregon, that they recruit nationally. So there's a sense of pride that California is still producing talent up there, that he wants to work against good on good every day and get better. And he thinks the place to do that is Oregon. Again, the best facilities in all of sports. That, as you mentioned, Buck, that's a marketing campaign. You could slap four or five of his quotes on any billboard.
Soundbite after soundbite. Like, I'm ready to run through a brick wall and commit to landing, and he don't even want me.
Yeah, that's a really impressive interview. I think Matt Johnson is about as impressive a kid as we've had on the show in a long time. I wanted to get him on the air for a number of reasons, but in part because I knew that he would be able to articulate very well why he chose Oregon, and gosh, he crushed it.
And that is a school that turns out smart, prepared, you know, basically well-rounded football players. De La Salle, their track record with the types of players they've put in college and in the NFL speaks for itself. So I think they're getting a good one here.
No doubt. And a versatile piece. That's the biggest thing is, you know, when you get an offensive lineman, everybody makes a big deal out of an offensive lineman that can be a versatile piece. And you think about the value of that, like an Alex Forsyth a few years ago, that he could play center, that he could play guard, that he could play right tackle in an absolute pinch, and how valuable that piece is because he provides depth at so many places. Matt Johnson's got a chance to be a productive edge rusher, to be a legitimate hand on the ground defensive end, or even develop as he gets bigger into a defensive tackle and be a contributor at all three spots depending on what Oregon needs. That's going to add a lot of value, and that's one of the reasons that he had the offers he did. Miami, Michigan, USC, chooses Oregon early. And another interesting piece, knowing he wanted to go to Oregon super early because of what they're putting together, going on his visit and seeing guys from the 2024 class that he grew up playing against in youth football, just a lot of really positive things to take from that interview. I have an interesting tidbit that I've sat on for a number of years, Buck. I want to get your thoughts on it, a little behind the curtain, maybe a surprise of some things I've heard in the recruiting world, next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So a little bit of a pivot. I was going to tell an old story. It'll have to sit on the back burner. We got a question that you wanted me to address.
Yes, this is coming from the Vancouver Ford text line. It says, Nemec, any thoughts on the Chip Kelly situation and on the hire of Deshaun Foster? For those who haven't been following along, obviously we know that Chip is no longer the head coach at UCLA. Today they announced that their former player and current assistant, or I guess technically he had taken a job as a running backs coach for the Raiders, but that hadn't started yet. But Deshaun Foster, now the head coach at UCLA, going from kind of a old guy who didn't play ball in recruiting to a young, energetic, maybe players coach.
I think Chip was desperate to leave college football. I think he hated recruiting anyway.
I think that much is clear based on just his interview record over the last month.
I don't know where I saw this, so I apologize to the author, but somebody mentioned that a third string running back went up to a coach and said, "I want $100,000. I think it was a Syracuse. I want $100,000 or I'm transferring." And they were like, "Deuces, this isn't how this works." But I can't even imagine if you're Chip Kelly trying to deal with that when you already hated recruiting anyway, and now you're trying to juggle your roster and roster building with, like, here's my pool of money.
Well, and the Dante Moore situation is perfect, right? Like, he didn't think Dante Moore was ready, and he has had some struggles, and then he starts another guy, and then Dante Moore's like, well, I'm going to be going to another school. And like, I know that's not all on Chip or whatever, but this era, I think, for older coaches who are used to coaching guys up and maybe it taking a year or two before they're ready and up to speed, like, that may be a bygone era, especially if you're talking about top prospects. The transfer portal and NIL has made it uncomfortable for a lot of older coaches, I think.
Last year, UCLA, or this cycle, UCLA signed its worst recruiting class in program history. Its composite rank was 88th, which is just, you're in LA. It's unforgivable. It's USC finishing last after the early signing period 4 years ago with Clay Helton, 3 years ago, where it was like, we've got to fire him. This is it's unacceptable. Deshaun Foster is known as a very good recruiter. He's very well liked. And I think even the gap, and I know there will be one, because Chip Kelly is a good X's and O's coach. There's a reason he's going to become an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. The gap between Deshaun Foster as a play caller, whoever he brings in, is probably going to be fairly significant. That being said, the gap between his recruiting class versus what Chip Kelly's going to get will more than make up for that. You cannot finish 88th in LA. Foster's a well-liked guy. He's a legend there. He's going to recruit well there, and I think they're going to do really well. Kind of highlighting how much kids are getting, I wanted to talk about this. I've always said, I said this last year, that teams would have a budget, essentially a salary cap for their recruiting class, and they would have a salary cap essentially unofficially via NIL for their current roster. Here's how much you have. You can spread the money around to keep your roster intact. Here's how much you have for your recruiting classes. And I said on this show, from what I've heard, that the average four-star gets between $80,000 and $120,000 a year. And then there are five-stars get obviously quite a bit more. Quarterbacks get more. Edge rushers get more. Tackles get more. That kind of thing. Well, 24/7 Sports, I wanted to get to this week, released, they anonymously interviewed 15 four- or five-star guys. They did not say what position they played, and asked them how much they get per year in NIL. These are this year's recruits, how much they signed for. I wanted to go over that because I think it's fascinating. Recruit number one, $350,000 a year. Recruit number two, $400,000 a year. Recruit number three, $120,000. Recruit number four, $180,000. Recruit number five, $120,000. Recruit number six, $72,000. Recruit number seven, $75,000 a year. Recruit number eight, $400,000 a year. Recruit number nine, $1 million a year. Recruit number 10, a few thousand dollars a month. So factor in maybe $40,000, $50,000. Recruit number 11, between 600 and 800,000 a year. Recruit number 12, low to mid six figures. Recruit number 3, 200,000. Recruit number 4, half a million. Recruit number 15, 150,000 a year. That doesn't surprise me given that they say there's 4 and 5 stars in there and it doesn't say what position. I'm hearing like 5 or 6 guys were in that 80 to 120 range, and then there's some half millions. I bet those are tackles. I bet those are edge rushers. They're corners. They're receivers. They're quarterbacks. But you get an idea. Guys are getting paid, and anybody who tells you guys aren't really making that much money is absolutely lying to you. Of the 15 recruits, all of them but one said they were getting at least $72,000 a year on top of their scholarship, and more than half were getting six figures. Guys are getting paid in the recruiting world as long as you're a 4-star prospect or better. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. We had a great show, a packed show with two great guests. As always, appreciate you.
This has been Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, the show for recruiting fans. Check out Andrew's work at scorebooklive.com and join us each week for Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.